Howdy, Frog fans, and welcome into the Gridiron Frogs podcast as a part of TCU Horned Frogs on SI. I'm your host, just Nolan, because you can't handle the Ruth. I'm a Fort Worth area native with very interesting and peculiar ties to TCU. I'm joined by my partner in crime, JD Andrus, the voice of Killer Frogs. This is episode, I believe, 16 of our show covering TCU football and a smattering of other topics related. And it is Monday, the 7th of October, 2024. And if you are down the road listening to this show and that date means anything to you, or this past weekend's dates mean anything to you, you know this is not going to be a good show. And so, JD, this one's going to get interesting. So, my opening question to you is this: are you ready for this one?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Well, you and I were not in very good places to watch this game. I think we came into this game so confidently thinking that there was no way on the face of the earth that TCU was going to lose to Houston 30 to 19. You were on a flight to New Orleans. I was in a high school press box in Aledo, not far away, focused on another game. And I don't know, I'll let you tell how you watch this one, but I was in that press box. I wasn't even watching it. I was just getting score updates. And then when I finally heard about it, I turned on the last few minutes, hoping for some kind of turnaround so we wouldn't have to do this particular show. But here we are. There are questions, and sadly, we signed up to be the ones to answer them. So, how about you? I know where you were. You talk about, you tell the people where you were and your experience with this game.
You know how hard it is to be stuck in a confined space, having just paid $20 for Wi-Fi so you could watch the games, so that you could live tweet it and see what's happening. And you're stuck in a confined space with people you don't know on an hour and a half long flight, 32,000 feet in the air, and you're so far up in the sky, but even you can see that this game was never within TCU's reach. That's what it was like. I couldn't react. I couldn't get mad. And then I might end up on a no-fly list if I genuinely reacted like how I wanted to during this game. It was at one point I was like, wow, thank God I'm not in an exit row seat because who knows what I'd be doing with that door right now. It was a rough watch. The amount of times that the Wi-Fi would stutter, and the next thing you know, Houston has the ball again. What happened? Oh, three and out. Never mind. Figured out what happened. It was not fun. I just Carson and I did the preview because you weren't able to. You were working a Thursday night high school game. Carson and I did the preview, and I think we spent a combined 12 minutes on the game because it was Houston. There was no reason to. And I think that's what the coaching staff did this week, too.
Yeah, I completely agree. I didn't want to do this, but I'm going to do it now, actually. Let's look at this real quick. Houston opened up the season with a loss to UNLV 27-7. They then go to Oklahoma and give the Sooners quite a scare, actually. Sooners come away with that one. Then Houston beats Rice, but it's Rice. And then Houston goes 2 weeks without scoring a single point against Cincinnati and Iowa State. There was no way Houston should have won this game.
Now, I will play devil's advocate here. What we know now is UNLV is a good team. We've known that. They were ranked last week.
Yeah.
We know that Oklahoma has a really good defense. Offense leaves much to be desired, but they were good. Rice, everyone knew they'd beat Rice. Cincinnati has surprisingly come along well, and Iowa State is the number 11 ranked team in the country right now. Like, they haven't really faced anyone that gave them an opportunity. And then along comes TCU.
Yeah. And this was exactly, in my opinion, the golden opportunity that Houston was waiting for. And I would like to say that I think Houston's going to pull out a couple more surprise wins this season. I'm still not convinced of that, though.
I have a question for you, and I might be getting ahead of it, but you just mentioned it, and I want to know. Who wins more games the rest of the way, Houston or TCU? Because I'm not talking because I'm that down on TCU. I'm genuinely talking because TCU's schedule the rest of the season is that tough.
Well, Houston has a very similar schedule to TCU. Houston's got to play Kansas, who TCU's already beaten. They play Utah on November 26th, who that is who TCU plays next after this bye week. They play Arizona on the road, and they host Baylor. I mean, the two have a very similar schedule remaining. The difference is Houston has to play Kansas State and BYU. Because of that, I think TCU wins more games down the road by one, but only because that Houston has to play Kansas State and BYU. I mean, oh, man.
We legitimately talked about it before the season when we did our preseason rankings. We put Houston bottom of the Big 12, and it was specifically because of how tough their schedule was.
Yeah.
Like we had said, their only probable win was Cincinnati, who blew them out. So then it was like, wow, they're really not going to win a Big 12 game. They did. They have the same amount of wins in the Big 12 as TCU does right now.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm not completely sold anymore that they don't beat Baylor. Like, it just, this is a, boy. And I hate to say it's the bottom of the conference, but the bottom of the conference has really become something to watch. I mean, this is just bad football. Houston opened up the scoring, had a 7-0 lead after the first quarter. And then TCU handed them, in my opinion, 14 of the 17 points that they scored in the second quarter.
I know
TCU only walks away with six.
I know we're going to get into it, but you did just mention the first Houston drive. You know what? I always fully expect a team to score on their first offensive drive. That's how it should be. You have the full week to specifically game plan that. So when a team scores on their first drive, I'm not worried at all. I was not worried at all when Houston scored. I was like, hey, you know what? It's a new quarterback who TCU might not have been fully prepared for, which is understandable, and some new formations maybe that they haven't seen. That's cool. Houston scored. But then you run out and you go three and out, and then you decide to run a QB sneak on 4th and 2, not 4th and 1, not 4th and inches.
I have never seen that before, ever. I've never seen a two-yard quarterback sneak before, or at least one that worked.
And
like, what do you?
Don't get me wrong. I can maybe understand the call in maybe the 2022 team, maybe even last year's team with the offensive line they had. But with this year's offensive line, who's already had run struggles as it is, it was a bewildering call. And it was like kind of in that moment, I was like, wow. Is this anyone getting flashbacks of the SMU game already with the QB read option to the outside? It was like, what are we doing?
Yeah, and the fact alone, you come away with 0 points after the first 15 minutes in a game that you had no business losing on paper. That alone was bad. And then, you get hit. You hand them 14 points in the second quarter, so it's 24-6 at halftime. You know, it's bad enough you're chasing them already, but now you just spotted them that big of a lead. And statistically, we won the second half, but that doesn't matter because we gave them so much in the first half. And really, our second half didn't look good either.
TCU had under 300 total yards.
Yeah.
Under 300 total yards. That alone should tell you. Look, don't get me wrong. The defense got gassed. But the offense couldn't put up over 30 points against Houston's defense. Nolan, I think we have a bigger problem on our hand than what is being let on.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. This is... I am struggling to find the words to describe how bad this actually is, and I don't think there are enough words in the English dictionary. I mean, this is terrible. You know, Josh Hoover still ended up throwing for 233 yards, but let's look at who he threw to. Okay, Jack Besh only had 4 receptions for 55. One of them was a touchdown. He only threw to Savion 4 times for 40. J.P. Richardson was the leading receiver. 9 catches, 98 yards. Eric McAllister's name isn't even on here, and he's one of the best receivers you've had all season. I don't see JoJo Earl on here, which, you know, that to me, that's when you know TCU had a decent offensive game, is because JoJo Earl got at least 2 receptions for 10 yards because you're spreading the ball around, and they're not spreading the ball around. And then rushing, I mean, Jeremy Payne, we talked about it from last week.
He got his first collegiate start.
He got his first collegiate start, and he got 3 carries for 3 yards. And then Cam Cook comes in, 14 carries, 77 yards.
I will say, when Cam Cook was in, he did look like the Cam Cook that I had seen in the fall. Like, he was running with a purpose. But with that said, I think it was also partially game plan of, you know, Jeremy Payne. I don't know. I think Jeremy Payne is a better run blocking running back than Cam Cook is.
I won't disagree, but I'm looking at these at the individual stats here for TCU, and I'm just wondering, who are we? What is our identity? We don't have one right now, and we haven't had one all season. And if we haven't found one now, we're not going to find one by the end of the season. I was confident last week when we did the recap after the Kansas game. I think we found a solid identity. We're spreading the ball around. You know, we're slowly getting to the running back by committee. You know, I thought Hoover was really starting to settle in a little bit after the bad SMU game. But, man, we do not have an identity, at least as an offense right now, and it's really, really bad.
Here's the thing is, I think the identity was the high-powered offense. You could allow your defense to have the struggles they have if you're putting up over 40 points a game. You have a receiver who could be the best receiver in the country. You have a quarterback who's thrown for over 300 yards in 9 of his last 12 games. Like, you can have all that the issues with the defense when your offense is that high-powered. But you see what happens when your offense isn't high-powered, when Josh Hoover has to play perfect and he can't because he's human. Like, you're expecting him to play perfect. The offensive line struggled in pass block all game. You can't get the running game going too much. And then they got game planned out because you were down so much in a hole. Mm-hmm. And then whenever you do, you're going 3 and out. You're throwing an interception on the third play. Your defense gets no rest. And then at one point, the defense allowed Zion Christ a hole so big for his 72-yard touchdown run that I think I saw it from 32,000 feet in the air. Like, it's... There are so many holes, and I don't know if it is a coaching issue or if it is a personnel issue.
So that's what I want to get it dive into for a minute, because we have talked about in our chat with the other writers, and it was actually brought up earlier today about a coaching change, and I am slowly leaning on. If Dykes is not already on a hot seat, it's heating up. We are watching one of the greatest tailspins of a program in college football history. You had an undefeated season. You lost in the conference championship. What big deal? You still got in the playoff. You beat Michigan in the Fiesta Bowl to get into the national championship game. You get run out of the building by Georgia. Well, you know what? That Georgia team was incredible. You know, a year ago, we were looking at TCU like, hey, that was forgivable. TCU's still going to be good. Then you don't even make a bowl game last year, and now you're really looking like you might not this year. And you just lost to the one game that you really had, other than Long Island, as a game that you should have won.
I think this is where I differ. I don't think Sonny Dykes' seat is hot at all. And I don't think it should be hot, if I'm being completely honest. In today's college football age, everything is about NIL. Everything is about recruiting. TCU under Sonny Dykes has not had worse than a 25th recruiting class in his time here and is on pace to have a 25th recruiting class in the country this year. Recruiting matters. It matters a lot. He brought in good talent from the transfer portal. He brought in great talent from the high school level. He is an excellent recruiter and is something that TCU, he's the opposite of Gary Patterson. Gary Patterson was the He doesn't care what star you are, he's going to make you into a 5-star. Sonny Dykes breaks in the great stars. I truly think that I have no concerns over Andy Avalos. I think his defensive scheme is going to be great. I just think that maybe there's a personnel issue. The Briles thing is interesting. I mean, there's not much of a run game. We didn't even see much of a run game last year. And you had Amani Bailey, who was fantastic. He averaged over 6.3 yards per carry last season and was barely even used. I just don't know what the major issue is, but I don't want to see Dykes gone because I'm afraid TCU pulls a Florida and Dan Mullen situation where you fire Dan Mullen, who, yeah, he didn't get you everything you wanted, but you prematurely fired him, and then you got Billy Napier, who has tailspinned your program even worse. And that's what I'm worried of in today's game and age in football. Are there better options than Sonny Dykes? I don't think so. Not that are available and would come to TCU. The only option who would maybe tip that list would be like Brian Hartline. But guess what? He's next in line for Ohio State. If Ryan Day gets canned, he's not gonna leave. Who do you want? You want Jeff Traylor at UTSA who struggled this year? I mean, I just think that sometimes you look at things and you always think the pasture's greener on the other side. Ask Florida. It's not always greener. Like it could be a lot worse. I think you give him the rest of this year and you give him next year. And if things don't change, then you make a decision there. But you can't play, you have to be gone after 1 year in today's age with NIL and transfer. It's how you lose an entire roster. And that's not something you can afford. You have really, really talented players on this team. You lose him, and now you're starting over with no guarantee that players are going to transfer in or even stay recruited. It's too big of a risk.
You make a good point and a very interesting point. And the reason I still stand firm that if he's not already on at least a warm seat, it's getting there, is because he hasn't done anything with the guys he's brought in. We haven't seen anything come from these transfers that have come in or these recruits that have come in. Now, as far as recruits go, yes, I say give him another year because he's still got a Patterson class that's here. So I'm totally with you on giving him at least another year. But he's definitely, his seat is warming up because I have not seen the impact from the transfers that we thought we would. I'll use Drake Dabney as an example. I'll use JoJo Earl as an example. That was a big deal when JoJo Earl transferred from Alabama, and he has not produced what we thought he would over the past 2 years. I mean, the list goes on. There are defensive ones I can bring in too, but I'm more of an offensive minded guy. But I absolutely just totally don't see him building up these transfers and these recruits into his program. And if he is, then I don't like what's ahead.
Here's the thing. Last year's team, 6 one-score possession games, and they lost all six of them. You even change half of those. TCU finishes 8-4 on the season. You're talking about success. This season, you lost to SMU, who, like, it's gross to say, but SMU might actually be kind of good. I think the major factor will be for the fan base is if SMU makes a playoff game this year. SMU makes a playoff game and Baylor fires Dave Aranda, people are going to start talking. Because now you're competing with your two biggest rivals, which is what football is all about. And Steven Johnson in Star Telegram made an excellent point when he talked about it in his article, is that TCU fans understand that they're not Ohio State. They're not going to make the playoffs every year. Just like once every 5 years, 4 years would be great. Isn't he kind of on pace for that?
Is he on pace to make the playoffs every 5 years? I don't know. I mean, he
He
might
made
make
it in a
it. He
four
might,
team. He might make it in a 12.
he might make it in 2 more years or 3 more years. I don't know. But is he on pace for that? I'm not gonna say he's on pace for that. I mean, yes, in his third season, he's already made the playoffs once. He's on pace for it. Put quotes around pace for that. But no, look, you can be on pace to do that. You can make the playoffs every 5 years, but it's what happens in those 4 years in between. You know, that's going to hurt you in recruiting and in the transfer portal. You know, we're slowly becoming a not very attractive program right now. Now, the one thing that's going for us is we have money, but we don't have much else. I mean, you know, you keep wanting to say SMU, like, we need to remember that we blew the second half and lost to UCF. We barely scraped by Kansas, who's, I believe, still winless in conference right now. I mean, barely got by Kansas. And now we blow the game against the worst team in the conference with Utah remaining, Texas Tech remaining. And I've got a hot sports opinion about Texas Tech right now.
You're gross.
Baylor's still remaining. I know I am. And
I know what you're gonna. Yeah,
you're not
no.
going to like it either. Baylor's still remaining. Arizona's still remaining, who just knocked off Utah. Oklahoma State remaining, who, while terrible, you still really can never know how that game's going to go. I have a hot sports page about Oklahoma State as well, and that one you might like. And then Cincinnati, you know, who's come on strong. We have to win three of our remaining six games to make a bowl game. And I just don't see that happening.
Wait, how many did you say we have to win?
At least three of them, right? Because we're,
Yeah.
what, 3-3?
You said we had to win six remaining. I was like, wait a minute.
No, three of our six. If I said that, I'm sorry. I meant three of our six.
I
We
think
had
it
to win three of our
happens.
six
I think it
remaining.
happens.
Utah, Tech, Baylor, Oklahoma State, Arizona, Cincinnati. It very well might not.
Let me ask you. And God. I hate having to be the optimist on every show. But I told you you'd be surprised today whenever he texted. Is I've taken my days. I've rewatched the game. I spent some time in New Orleans with friends. And I'm not doom and gloom right now over the program. I'm really not. Dudes in Houston sucks. They were projected to be the worst team in the conference. This year's really weird. Really weird. Alabama just lost to Vanderbilt. Tennessee just lost to Arkansas.
We're going to talk about those tomorrow, but I see your
I
point.
know. College football is always a weird spot, a sport where it's any given Saturday. That's literally the slogan for college football. Any given Saturday. The only problem that I have with Sonny Dykes is that he talked about it last season. He talked about it preseason. That a lot of times the guys just weren't fired up for the game, and he said he needed to be better at that. And I think that's a lot of what the issue is. The guys just don't come out fired up, ready to play. He even talked about in his post-game press conference that Houston just came out wanting it more. There's also more in the press conference that I want to talk about and really, really deep dive here in a bit when we get to it, but I'll save the rest of it. But like, you got to fire the guys up. But I also think it's an issue that we're relying on the coaches to fire up the players. Why are the players not fired up themselves? Like, another thing that Sonny Dykes is big on is he talks about is when a team wins a close game or blows a team out, it's all, hey, wow, the players did really well. And when a team loses, it's all on the coaches. And I'm not saying it's all the players' fault or it's all the coaches' fault, but like, there's a good mix of both. Hoover had uncharacteristic turnovers. Maybe not even uncharacteristic anymore because the trend is kind of more so characteristic. I still think he's a phenomenal quarterback. Offensive line was giving him trouble. We haven't seen much of Drake Dabney in the pass game. Defense was still struggling. Run defense. Like, I think the pieces are there and the pieces have been there all season and the pieces were there last season. The problem is putting the pieces together. The talent was there last season. The talent is still there. If they can put the pieces together, this is still a fantastic team. And it sucks because Dyke says that in his press conference, and I kind of roll my eyes, but like, he's got a fantastic point. I really, really think that it is a one click away from this taking off still. Even then, you give them a week on this bye week, let them recuperate, let them have their great practices all week. And then come out and you play a Utah team. I'm not. I'm still on the boat.
I'm not fully off the boat, but I came in guns blazing. I might as well stick to it because I already teased my next question to you pre-show. It's not going to happen against Utah. And if Hoover comes out and has a great game against Utah, then I'm going to totally rescind what I'm about to say. I am sick and tired of hearing about the greatest practice we've ever had every freaking Tuesday. And we come out and this is the result, or it doesn't show on the field. You've got to do something to make a spark. I'm a big hockey guy. When a hockey team wants that to happen, they swap goalies. At what point does Ken Seals get his shot?
He's not going to, nor should he. And I loved what Ken Seals did at Vanderbilt. I think he was great at Weatherford when he played in high school here. Why? Why should he get a start?
Because what is happening right now is, I'm not saying even give him a start. I'm saying pull what Lincoln Riley did, that snake, back when he was at Oklahoma in the Red River game and Spencer Rattler was having a horrible game against Texas. Riley throws out Caleb Williams. Williams leads the greatest comeback in OU Texas history. You need something to spark this season. It's not going to – look, it is not going to happen against Utah. Okay, I'm saying that in the form of – and if Hoover comes out and shuts me up against Utah, I will gladly come on these airways and rescind what I'm saying right now. Gladly. I want to be proven wrong about this. But right now, what is happening is not working. Something's got to change. We've got to get a spark from something. We've got to start getting a little bit crazy and seeing who's going to step up and be that guy. And I think Seal's a natural leader. I think if he got a shot, I think he'd do at least better than everyone thinks he would. I'm not saying he'd win the starting job that day. We've got to mix something up, though.
I'm pulling it up so that way I don't get this entirely wrong. So one second, bear with me while I do that. Yeah, okay. So you want to take the quarterback who is third in the country in passing yards out of his starting position? Maybe not even starting, but even take him out of his game? He is still third in the country in passing yards. Yeah, he's had a few turnovers. Okay, so be it. He had two interceptions this week. Sucks, yeah. Turnovers are awful, but he's still doing great.
I'm not going to take that away from him.
Hoover is being forced out there to throw the ball 40-plus times a game and is forced to complete 90% of his passes. That way, this team has a fighting chance at winning a game because their inability to provide a run game to give him any support, which means teams are dropping six people in coverage every single play and forcing him to throw it in tight windows that, mind you, he's still 20 years old. He's a sophomore. He's going to get better. And then talking on that point, and I talked about it earlier, is let's say you take him out, third in the country in passing yards, and you put Ken Seals in. And now Hoover goes, well, you know what? They don't want me here. I don't want to be here. And he transfers out. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be happy with that at all.
Nor should you be. And I'm not trying to take away anything from Josh Hoover. Look, I understand what you're saying. Say that he's the problem.
Yeah, you want a spark.
And this may very well be a coaching problem. And I believe it is, actually. But we need a spark to salvage this season while it can still be salvaged.
The spark is in the backfield.
I get that, JD. I'm coming from a very win now mentality. You're talking about more of a long term.
I'm saying the spark comes from Jeremy Payne. I think that is where the spark lies on this offense.
I don't disagree. Okay, yes. Let's talk about that because I'm frustrated by that too. He got his first start, 3 carries for 3 yards. What? Why? Why is he not running the ball? And you said earlier we can't really get the run game going. Look, the run is not our strength, and we know that. But we've got to get something going in the run game, and that's with Jeremy Payne. So why was he only getting 3 carries? And at that point, I will say it. Yes, this is a coaching problem. When I talk about the quarterbacks, I'm just trying to find a spark to get something going. I do think the ultimate problem is in the coaching.
Yeah, I'm just saying that taking Hoover out when the real spark on this team should be Jeremy Payne being able to show off his running ability is really where it will start. Because, one, that's your spark of being able to go back to a balanced offense that they desperately need. And, two, he has shown his talent. He showed it in the Kansas game. Yeah, it was late in the game. You give him the start, and then he's just like, hey, by the way, oh, wait, we have Jeremy Payne. Where'd he go? Hey, you know what would have been great to give him a chance running the ball on that 4th and 2? Didn't happen, though.
No. Nope. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the press conference. You've got some thoughts about what was said and really the coach's demeanor as well. The way I believe it was Nate that put it was he'd never seen him so flustered in a press conference before. How can we be confident when Sonny Dykes is coming into a press conference like that and really not providing a lot of answers to what we have?
I'm trying to find the exact player it is because I can't remember it. I think it was Namdi, but not 100% sure on that. So I could be wrong, but I believe it was Nnamdi that was saying that there are still players on the defense that are struggling with the concept, which is causing them to make mistakes. It is week six.
Yeah,
We're
that's
going
not
into week
good.
seven. And these are the same players who told us at the end of training camp, at the end of fall camp, that they've really understood the defense now. And now we're having problems understanding it.
Yeah, that's not good. That's bad.
I take
Oh,
it
that's
you
bad.
hadn't heard that?
I had not heard that yet, no. But wow.
Yeah, they're having trouble with the concepts of the defense, which is causing them to make mistakes.
So many
Nolan, is
words.
that
So
Nolan, is that a
many
personnel
words are coming
problem
to
or a
mind.
coaching problem?
That's a coaching problem. So many words coming to mind, and I can't use them on this show because I would like to keep the show clean. Wow, I did not hear that. That's bad. Wow, that is
You are in
horrible.
week six of the season. And
Half our season's gone.
yeah. And players are still struggling to grasp the concept of the defense causing mistakes. I don't. Where do you go from there? Where do you go from there?
I mean, at that point, I just pack it up and say, all right, boys, let's go into spring ball, try it again next season.
Yeah.
Good Lord, that is, oh, that's a horrible thing to say. I'm just, oh my gosh. If this coaching staff were any other college, any other power college in the country, that alone puts a coordinator or so, at least half the staff on a hot seat. Holy crap. That's bad.
And
You would never hear Nick Saban saying that. Oh my Lord.
then here's the thing. Sonny Dykes came out in his press conference and said, like, never didn't expect that to happen. Don't know, what's going on. That's your job.
That is literally what you are paid to assure happens, that this scheme works. Oh man. Okay, I don't even want to talk about the press conference anymore.
Dylan, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
In your opinion, who has been a more disappointing head coach this season, Mike Gundy or Sonny Dykes?
Man, I gotta sit with this one too, because I have a hot sports take on Gundy. All right, I'll say it. I've been guns blazing all day. I'll say it. I think this is Mike Gundy's last season at Oklahoma State. I think he finishes the season, but I think this is it.
As in fired or retiring?
Take your pick. I'm not gonna get that into it.
I think it makes a difference though.
It does make a difference. I know that
Because
there are people.
I talked about it earlier with TCU, with like if Baylor fires Aranda, SMU makes the playoffs, it lights a fire under their boosters. If they see a program like Oklahoma State and a long-tenured coach like Mike Gundy get fired for his results, I think now all bets are off. That's what I'm saying. It kind of makes a difference on if he does that whole like, oh, I'm retiring, but then they really forced me out thing.
Yeah,
There's a
well,
difference.
okay, so I mean there's also a difference between firing and being and under behind closed doors being asked to leave.
Yeah.
I think that's the most likely scenario. Maybe he le I do not think he leaves on his own accord. I think that man is full of pride, and pride is a sin, my friend. So we'll see what happens with that. No, I'm to answer your question, I'm going to say Gundy. Because over the last 2 weeks, I have been significantly more disappointed with Oklahoma State than TCU. But if I'm being fair, that's because where I had Oklahoma State was way higher than where I had TCU. I mean, the bar for the Cowboys for me this season was high, and they are falling so short of it that I don't see any other way. And yeah, that. I'm on some Oklahoma State message boards, and I know that there are a lot of unhappy people, and they say, we've had this guy for a long time, and We're so spotty and inconsistent. It's never going to get better. I will say I'm surprised that the Cowboys finally took Bowman out and went with Garrett Rangel. We can talk about that tomorrow, but yeah, no, I think Gundy's the more disappointing one, but that doesn't mean I'm not disappointed in Sonny Dykes this season. This isn't great. This definitely isn't great. Let's move to our last segment, and that should just about end our time, I think, if I played this right. You reached out on social media. Did you get any questions? Have you, and even not if they reached out on social media, are there any questions from fans that you've heard just through the grapevine or anything that you think we need to address? You've been the one asking for all the questions.
I think we kind of talked, a lot of them were just opinions on what to do with Dykes and all that. And someone did ask if we thought DC was having a good week of practice so far. And that one got a chuckle out of me.
Well, this is probably the best week of practice we've had all season. And it's only Monday. So I think this is a great week of practice. I'll say that.
Yeah, I could talk about this for 3 hours, and I don't want to.
We could easily go 3 hours, but I'm hungry, and we only gave this allotted amount of time for the show.
Yeah, I just, there's not much more to say. The only thing I want to say is, circling back to my Hoover thing, is Hoover's second in the country in most passes attempts thrown right now with 236. He trails only Kyle McCord, who's thrown 240. The next closest is 220. You're asking him to be perfect, and newsflash, he's not gonna be, because he's still a sophomore, and it's insanely hard when teams are dropping six, seven players in coverage. And then when
because they know we can't run the ball,
and then when they're stacking the box, we run the ball.
The fact that he's thrown that many attempts, and by the way, his rushing yards on the season are horrible. When that's the case, that's a bad offense, because you've got to run the ball. I don't think it's so much that we're asking him to be perfect. I think, you know, we know he's going to throw incompletions. He's going to have some bad passes. We're not going to score every drive. But we've got to be able to run the ball. The fact he's second in the nation in passing attempts with the results we have, that's not a good thing. We've got to be able to run the ball. And I'll go back to what you said. Yeah, I think Jeremy Payne is definitely a spark in that regard. And yeah. I would like to see Jeremy Payne get at least 10 to 12 carries against Utah.
Here's the thing, too, with the running game. Cam Cook had 14 rushes for 77 yards. What a bad stat line. 5.5 yard average.
Yeah, not bad.
54 of those yards came on four plays. The rest of the time, he averaged 2 yards a carry.
There you go.
That's where, you know, it lies. It's just...
And Payne only got 3 carries for 3 yards. That's... Oh, man, we got to be able to run the ball. We have got to be able to run the ball. All right, well, this was not a great episode, but we had to do it. JD, any final thoughts?
At least they can't lose the bye week.
I actually saw on my old Baylor forum, someone started a thread. I don't know why I'm still on there. But the thread name was bye week favored by 10. Because Baylor is also on bye this week. And I thought that was funny. So I don't know.
Baylor and TCU should just scrimmage for bye week. And
shoot, that might actually make us a little bit better.
TCU versus Baylor might be on like the gas station pump TV channel.
I mean, we played SMU on the CW.
Yeah.
All right. Frog fans, that does it for the 16th episode of Gridiron Frogs podcast as a part of the TCU Horned Frogs on SI. Thank you for tuning in, listening, watching, however you find your podcasts. We'll see you tomorrow. We got a lot to dive in that we'll enjoy talking about a little more. It was a very, very shocking week in college football, so we're going to dive in to some of those results. And until tomorrow, for my partner JD Andres and everybody at Killer Frogs, I'm Nolan Ruth, signing off. So long, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.